There's this line in Hebrews that was read today that I really enjoy very much. This idea that there were so many high priests before Jesus because everybody died, which is kind of a morose way to start a passage of Scripture. But it's true. Everybody died, so you kept having to have more. But it goes on to say that because Jesus lives forever, he's able for all time to save those who approach God through him, always living to make intercession for them. It's kind of like, he's always around. There's never any reason on the part of Jesus that someone can't come to God. I think that's a really good framing story, a framing idea when we talk about the story of Bartimaeus. If Jesus is always around, ready, then it's never Jesus' fault when people can't get to God. But sometimes people can't get to God. So whose fault is it? So there's a plaque in my office somewhere, I could find it for you, that on the back says, it has my name on the front, and on the back it says, "Lord, have mercy." And there's a story behind this. There's a tape I heard once of a police call. A friend of mine who was a police officer in a small Texas town let me listen to it. And the tape is a 911 call that came out of a church fight. Okay? So there was a meeting at the church where the deacons showed up and the pastor showed up. And there was some disagreement about how things should be handled. And the call, this is the best line from the call, "Lord have mercy, they done fighting in the sanctuary." I don't think they meant they were finished, by the way. I think that was that colloquial use of, no, they're really fighting in the sanctuary. I bet that's not the only 911 call that came out of a church in the past 5 years, you think? That was a call that went to someone because people in church were fighting in the sanctuary. Does that seem like appropriate behavior? Well, y'all were not very solid on that no, so I better be careful. Does that seem appropriate? But somewhere, these good, God-fearing people, in the midst of their emotional turmoil, who are good followers of Jesus, they were at church on a not Sunday morning. So they were here, you know. They were there for a meeting. Somewhere in the midst of that, these otherwise perfectly sane and logical people got into fisticuffs in the sanctuary. Now, let's imagine you're a 911 dispatcher, okay? And you deal with trauma all day long. You deal with turmoil and conflict. And there is this group of people who exist because we follow a person who showed up all the time saying, "Shalom, peace." And you get a call from those people about fighting. What kind of message does that send? To make you want to really show up at church? Maybe. Maybe if you're bored, you know, you're like, it's cheaper than cable. I can watch some wrestling. Wrestling. Jesus, who lives forever, is always available to offer intercession so that anyone at all times can find God through him. Because he is the perfect sacrifice. But somehow, sometimes, somewhere along the way, we get in the way. The story of Bartimaeus is fascinating. First of all, he's got one of the worst names in the Bible. His name is Bartimaeus. It simply means son of Timaeus. He doesn't even get anything original. Bartimaeus is blind. He's sitting in a city. He's so out of it that Jesus and his disciples have shown up to Jericho. And they've been in Jericho, the city of significant importance in Scripture, and now they're on their way out of town. And it's only when they're on their way out of town that Bartimaeus recognizes that it's Jesus and he begins to have a conniption fit. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the very next line of Scripture is just so great. Many around sternly ordered him to be quiet. Shh. Stop. You're going to make a scene. Quit it. But Bartimaeus is such an exemplar for us. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus talks about the irony of seeing and blindness. And he says, the real irony is that if you claim to be able to see, you're actually blind. But if you admit you're blind, then you could start to see, like Jesus does. He says these things. Bartimaeus, because he can't see, because he is beyond the point of shame, because his pride is already gone, in the middle of peer pressure telling him to be quiet, he is so empty of himself that he just keeps on yelling. You've seen those people, right, who have no sense of self-awareness, make a fool of themselves in public places. Sometimes they're sober. You know what I'm talking about, right? That person who dances in the middle of the store. That person who talks too loud. That person who dresses funny. That person who seems to have no idea that it's important what you think about them. That's the person who, in this story, is closer to God than anybody else. He's the one who is so unconcerned with what society is telling him that his mouth will not be silent. And he continually shouts out, Son of God, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. This is the inspiration for one of the central contemplative prayers, the Jesus Prayer. If you have been with us when we've talked about it, we've talked about this pattern of saying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. For some of us, it's our go-to prayer in times of trouble and anxiety. It's our prayer that we spend time sitting with and saying because it takes us to the place where we are empty of ourselves, where we remember that we are a sinner in the same boat as everyone else, and that above anything else in this world, what we need is mercy. Bartimaeus is one who gets it. The rest of the crowd, which I'm sure included some disciples, by the way, the rest of the crowd, all they want to do is keep this man in need quiet. Has he no propriety? There are lots of rules that are unspoken and unwritten in our society, right? Rules about what we do and we don't do. Because everybody knows you don't do those things you don't do, right? It's somewhere hardwired in us, our code of conduct. You use your blinker when you're... Oh, no, wait, that's a law, but not around here sometimes. You know, like, there are things that are wired into us about how we're supposed to behave, but sometimes those societal constructs stand in the way of us reaching out for mercy. And even worse, sometimes we are the enforcers of some unwritten, ungodly law that keeps people from meeting Jesus. Because sometimes we want people to meet Jesus in a way that seems fitting to us. Bartimaeus will not be quiet. He continues to call out until Jesus hears him, and Jesus says, okay, let's see this guy. And then here's the real hope for some of us who like to impose our rules on other people. The crowd who has been silencing Bartimaeus turns to Bartimaeus and says, take heart. Jesus is wanting to see you. The funny part is, Bartimaeus already has plenty of heart, right? He's shouting in the middle of being told to be quiet. But somehow they feel like they need to say, hey, it's okay. They tell him, take heart. And then they take him to Jesus. The crowd in this story has something to teach us. They reach a moment where in the midst of their sin of keeping this one from Jesus and confronted by the God who calls everyone, they change. They go from keeping him away to being agents of him coming to Jesus. I'm going to tell you, for most of us, that's where we are sometimes. We forgot that we were blind and we needed mercy. Instead, we were busy telling everyone else to get it together. But you know what? Grace is when Jesus meets us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our thinking we have it figured out, and tells us, no, no. And grace is the moment we change. The story ends in a beautiful way. Bartimaeus is brought by the crowd who has changed to Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want? And Bartimaeus is just beautiful. He doesn't give some lengthy philosophical answer. He doesn't give a church answer. He doesn't mention anything about God or Scripture or the baby Jesus or the star in the north. I just want to see again. It's honest. It's raw. It's vulnerable. It is stripped of all religious language. I just want to see. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. And then the last line of this story is that Bartimaeus sees and goes with them on the way. And it's not like he's just walking with them. It's that use of the language, the way, which means that in the midst of this encounter with a hostile crowd who then becomes a part of his side, in the midst of his encounter with Jesus, he starts the story blind and he leaves a disciple. He's going with Jesus to Jerusalem. If we pair that with these other stories, right? The stories of the disciples that we've been talking about, where when Jesus keeps talking about going to Jerusalem and suffering and dying, and they keep going, no, that seems like a really horrible idea, Jesus. They continually get it wrong, but blind Bartimaeus gets it right. He asks for mercy and he leaves going on the way with Jesus. I love Scripture. And the reason I love Scripture is that Scripture is alive. Those words on a page, somehow they mean something different every time I read them. Today, I wonder where I am in this story. Am I the blind man who realizes I'm blind and just has to scream out for mercy? Am I a part of a crowd keeping others from getting Jesus? Or am I a part of a crowd helping others find their way? The world is full of corners and places to bump our knees in our blindness. But together, we can help everyone find the high priest who never fails, who continually offers mercy, no matter where we are in the story. Amen.